The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Hi.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Good evening, everybody. I am your host, Michael O'Neill. You are listening to the Odyssey Files on Para-X, and my co-host has just made it online. So this is going to be fully improv. There we go. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, Mike.
And we are on the air currently.
It's a conspiracy, I think.
Skype again?
Yeah. My computer is... It's a conspiracy. I don't know what to make of this. But every time that I want to, like, log on, I get the, oh, I'm sorry, you haven't updated Skype, and so we need to make sure that it's working properly with your current settings. Please allow me to take over your computer for 12 minutes.
That's why I practically never shut my Skype down, and I never shut my computer down, because then everything gets messed up. I saw a message on our private Para-X board from Henry saying that he had to do an update for Skype, and it completely messed up his ability to even be on the air. So I'm like, I'm not shutting mine down.
Yeah.
If I don't give Skype the opportunity to update itself, I'll be fine.
Well, you know, and the funny thing is, I've tried to shut down that function.
You can't. Yeah,
you can't. It's kind of like, it's so invasive, like Messenger for Facebook is. You know, you can't do anything. Once you get it on your system, you are a slave to that program.
Yes, and it's almost like the internet version of Walmart. You know, when South Park did their Walmart thing, you know, the whole thing was, you can't stop the Walmart.
Yeah,
and it that's Skype for internet right now. You can't stop it. You can't do anything about it.
Nope.
It won't let you. And but when it works, it works. So
yeah.
And I don't particularly know any other way of doing this. So I don't know. But I like the fact that you you started out with the whole conspiracy thing, because with it being 9/11, we decided to do a show on conspiracies, or conspiracy theories, I should say.
Yep.
I do not think, maybe towards the end of the show we can do a quick thing on the 9/11 conspiracy, but that's not really paranormal, and I know the powers that be who are currently listening frown upon political stuff, so we'll try to do our best. But there's tons of paranormal type conspiracies. So Dave and I each we're going to have at least one, and we have not discussed in any way, shape, or form what our individual topics are.
Well, here, so, I got to chime in real quick, because 90% of my research today was on 9/11. Because that's what I thought we were doing, 9/11 for the show, and then we were each going to do one topic if we had leftover time. So
I think we should go the other way around. Yeah, I think we should go the other way around.
You go ahead and start, and then I'm going to wing it.
Well, first, what was your topic? We'll see if maybe it matches.
Mine was the 9/11 towers.
Right. I mean, the other one.
It was Count Saint Germain.
I guess I don't even know what that one is.
Yeah, it was. And the only reason I pulled it up is because, as I look at it, I don't really see conspiracy theory, but I saw it on three different conspiracy theory websites, and it made the top 100 on multiple websites, and I'm like, okay. So I started reading about this guy. It's pretty crazy stuff. I would say it's totally linked in with the paranormal for this guy because nobody knew who he was. He went by like 14 different names. He spoke 9 languages fluently, including 3 of the hardest languages in the world to speak. He had an ungodly amount of wealth. Nobody knows where it came from. And he never aged. Never aged.
Wait, he never aged?
Never aged. Showed up in 1710, and he looked like he was in his 50s. In 1789, he was at a presidential at a king's ball, and was seen by multiple people who were like ready to drop dead and old, and he was still looked exactly like he had all the way up into I think the last reported sighting of him was 1829, which would have made him about 197 years old, and he still looked the same.
Okay, so before I get to my main one, and I think we could do a whole show on this one because it's actually, I think it hasn't really hit the mainstream yet, but I think there's a lot of people weighing in, and that is the theory that the moon is actually an alien space station.
Ooh, nice.
I know that our good friend Chad Kalick did an actual documentary on it. So I tried to actually watch it, but he wanted like $10, and I was like, no. and I actually I asked him to be on the show tonight, but I didn't give him really any sort of notice or whatever. It was just this morning, hey Chad, want to be on the show tonight? Never got back to me. So shocker.
No way. No way.
I know. That's a conspiracy in its own.
That is
the fact that nobody will get back to me.
Of Odyssey Paranormal Society, that is a conspiracy theory right there.
So I have a couple small ones that I came across that I would just like to throw out there and get your take on.
Okay, go ahead.
So the first one, actor Nicolas Cage is an immortal vampire.
Yeah, I believe that.
I guess the story behind this is, and I've seen the photo, but there's a guy named Jack Mord who posted a photo on eBay to sell it. And it's a circa 1870 photo from appears to be a guy that lived in Kentucky during the Civil War age. Looks exactly like him. Exactly.
Like okay, you
okay, are you looking it up?
Yep. Yep. You keep talking. I'm looking it up. I got to
okay,
see.
Okay. So, but basically, you know, like even Nicolas Cage was brought, you know, this was brought to him and asked about it. And he made some really good points. He said, if it's a photo of me, I obviously can't be a vampire because you can't take photos of vampires.
That's supposedly. A good point. That's a good point.
So, right there. And he said, I don't drink blood. And last time I looked in the mirror, I had a reflection.
That's another good point.
Those are two very good points. Although, whether you could be lying about the drinking blood thing.
It could be.
But it is, if you look at the photo, it is uncanny how close the guy in the photo looks to Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Even
the ears. Yeah.
Yeah, like everything.
Even the receding hairline. That's crazy.
Yeah. Okay, so the conspiracy theory, and I can't believe this is a conspiracy theory. Like, it almost makes me angry that this is a conspiracy. The Earth is flat.
Oh, no, that's stupid. We've already proven
it. Well, it is stupid. So, yeah. I saw a video, and I was just watching on my phone. It was on Facebook. I want to believe that whoever made this video was being very sarcastic. But it was like this late teens kid. Like, it looked like he was just standing in his driveway, and he had a plate and a bottle of water. And he took the ball, and he poured the water on the ball, and obviously all the water dropped off.
Yep.
Then he took the plate, poured the water in there, and the water obviously stayed on the plate.
Yep.
And so I guess the proof or the whole goal of this one was to show that the world is flat because the water stays on the Earth.
And hence the gravitational pull of the rotation of our planet has nothing to do with it.
That's what I'm saying. Right. I can't even believe that this is even still a theory. It baffles me. And the thing is that there are a lot of people that believe that the Earth is still flat. Or, yeah, I guess I can't really say still flat, but that the Earth is flat.
Okay, well, here, I got a great idea then. We need to create like an insurance policy that guarantees you that if you ever drive off the edge of the Earth into outer space, that we'll cover you for any damages you incur to your vehicle and your life and your health. And then we're going to look up all these people that believe it and sell them insurance, and we're going to fund our trip around the world for the paranormal investigations.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
I bet you that you could actually sell that.
I bet you could. I know I can sell it. We just got to find it. We got to have like somebody write it up, you know, and then charge some
write
really
up the
outrageous
policy
premiums.
If you drive off the edge of the world,
you ever drive off covered. The edge of the Earth, you're covered. You're not covered for anything else.
It would have to be like a life insurance policy type of thing.
Yeah.
Here's one that I didn't expect. The Denver airport is hell.
Yeah. Never been there.
And it said that the reason for this theory is nothing to do with flight delays. I don't know. I have heard weird stuff about the Denver airport and don't particularly understand. But I might have to do some research on that.
I can tell you what. I can tell you that O'Hare is hell in Chicago. Have you ever tried to grab a flight out of there or LaGuardia? Or LAX. Those are all hell. Those are all spawns of hell right there.
No, I haven't. So
it's kind of like driving through Atlanta during rush hour. 8 lanes wide, and everybody's doing -8 miles an hour.
Here's one that I know that I think you have looked into or read about or whatever, and that is the Matrix is real.
Yes, it is.
So you think that this is an alien-controlled world that we live in, and the best that they could do was Skype?
Well, you know, you got to take the good with the bad. I mean, so the good is, you know, everything else that happens. The bad is Skype, right? I mean, they got to offset it.
Every time. Well, I mean, and the thing that is interesting, and I love the fact that they actually put this into the movies, but the deplorables, but the programs that weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Like the viruses.
Well, I don't know if it was viruses, but just programs that were not doing with, you know, they even said, you know, he's like, I've never heard of that. And she's like, well, sure you have. Anytime you know, somebody says they've seen a ghost or an alien, you know, that was a program that was doing something they're not supposed to be doing. I thought that was really cool for an explanation on just those type of things. Because, hell, I mean, if you wanted to branch that out to obscene intensity, you could cover everything. Oh, yeah. You know, what about this? Oh, it must be a program that's not doing what it should be. I mean, it's a cop-out, but it could possibly happen.
So what do you say that we not only include driving off the edge of the planet Earth, but if you ever discover that you're plugged into the Matrix and you actually
we will provide the blue pill.
Yeah. And you actually can prove it. We'll pay out on the policy, kind of like Aflac. We'll have these little mini coverages Aflac. With it. Aflac. We'll have little mini coverages. It's the Matrix blue pill policy.
You know, I almost think that sometimes we use our radio show as brainstorming time for get-rich-quick schemes.
Well, yeah, I would say that's probably partially true.
we seem to always be talking about wanting money.
Okay, so, well, that's, yeah, well, that's, so that right there proves that we're not in the Matrix. Because in the Matrix, nobody ever wanted for money once they learned how to manipulate the programs. Either we're dumb and we haven't figured out how to manipulate the programs properly, or there is no Matrix. But here, this is interesting. So I'm going to go jump back to the Denver airport here for a minute.
Oh, okay. Sure.
All right. So the Denver airport is hell. So exit arrows point at each other instead of outside. Corridors lead to nowhere. Kind of sounds like the Winchester House. Security checkpoints seem to disappear mysteriously as you approach them. As you drive into the airport, you're greeted by a giant horse with glowing red eyes. And one of the terminals is decorated with a massive statue of Anubis, the ancient Egyptian god of death. That's That's kind of an interesting mix of things happening at an airport.
What gets me is the security checkpoints that just suddenly disappear.
Yeah, I don't know about that one either. I haven't been there yet, but the horse with the giant glowing red eyes. Why would you have a giant horse with glowing red eyes?
Now, is that like a statue or is that an apparition?
Well, supposedly it's a huge statue.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe they like rubies.
There you go. First, the facts. The giant red-eyed horse sculpture at the gates of the airport really did kill the sculptor who created it. He died of blood loss when part of the statue fell on him in his studio.
I can't laugh. That's horrible. But
it is horrible. Oh, you're going to like this one. Ready?
I love it already.
My favorite conspiracy theory about the Denver airport is that its designers filled it with phallic symbols to inspire devil worship. Nobody explains it better than this guy, whose online moniker is the Third Eagle of the Apocalypse.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot of messed up crap going on at the Denver airport.
There is. I'm going to have to take a trip out there.
Maybe we should contact him if we can do an investigation.
Wouldn't that be sweet? I don't think that the TSA is going to let us go rolling in there with cameras and start documenting stuff. Hey, we're here to check out all the phallic symbols and the horse that killed its creator with the glowing red eyes and Anubis. Can you point out those three things for us? And we'll be
not
on our
to mention, we would have to ask them to vacate the entire airport.
Correct.
For noise contamination issues.
Sure. How the hell are you going to get a good EVP with everybody running around making noise? Shut all the jets down. Shut all the equipment down. Just, everybody has to vacate.
Yeah. Or just for like 2 or 3 hours, just have the planes circle while we do our investigation, and then they can all land at once.
They have to circle like around Salt Lake City, though. I think that's probably the closest airport to there. So
more than likely.
They got to be far enough away, you know, so they don't
get... Oh, I suppose. That's right. Well, I'm sure they'll be more than accommodating.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it would only cost them maybe $10 to $20 million.
For 15 minutes of investigating?
15? I know. At least an hour. That's a big airport.
Oh, yeah. No, you're going to like this one, too. This gets juicier as I go.
We're just going to throw out all other topics and just talk about the airport.
No, it's a good one, though. It's a good one, you know. So, former Minnesota governor, it even ties in with us, Jesse Ventura, thinks that the Denver airport sits over a giant network of tunnels that form a secret base camp for government officials in the event of the zombie apocalypse. Now,
apocalypse.
It says apocalypse. I threw zombie in there because I like zombie apocalypses. So.
Right, because nuclear apocalypse is completely out of the realm of possibility as opposed to zombie apocalypse.
Well, correct. That's what I mean. Like, if you're going to have one apocalypse, you might as well have dead people walking around trying to eat brains of the remaining of the living few that are going to be out there.
Right. That's what I heard. Maybe that's what I heard about the airport, was the tunnels underneath, maybe.
Could be. And you know that FEMA, how bad they messed up in New Orleans after the floods, you know, from the hurricane?
Yes.
Jesse said that he thinks that there could be a FEMA concentration camp where undesirables are sent for mass executions. So, hey. Wow. That's, you know, if that's really happening underneath, you know what that is, though. That's a catalyst for a lot of paranormal activity.
It is. That is. Absolutely it is. All right. So getting back to what I believe will be the main topic of time, the moon is really a space station.
Okay. So I'm going to say no.
You don't think that's correct?
No, I do not.
Okay. Prepare to have your mind blown.
Okay, so you show me or convince me that is. So start firing away, man.
Okay, so if you start at the top, a lot of I can't even say a lot. I do not think that anybody has been able to scientifically prove why the moon is even there. Because nobody seems to be able to back up like 100% how it got there. There's the capture theory that the moon was just kind of coming in and like as a big comet or whatever, and it was captured by our gravitational pull. But they say that the percentage of the likelihood of that happening is like less than 1% because of the size of the moon and the fact that out of all of in any planet and any moon, the moon to this Earth has an absolutely perfect rotation, circular rotation around the Earth.
Okay.
They also feel that the Earth is older, not the Earth, the moon is older than the Earth.
Okay.
So basically what they did is they took samples from the rocks that were picked up from the Apollo mission and carbon dated them and actually found that, actually found that the moon is 5.3 billion years old, whereas the Earth is only 4.6. But, and they said the dust upon which the rocks were settling is about another billion years older. So the rocks were actually put there later, like a billion years later. I don't even know. I can't even comprehend that time frame. But I know that in Chad's documentary, and I wasn't able, in what I read about this theory, I did not see any correlation to it. But he said that there, the rocks and just that kind of had metals that are not indigenous to the moon and really only get made due to a nuclear reaction, like a nuclear explosion or a reactor, you know, that kind of stuff.
All right, so what's to say that it maybe didn't get sucked through a black hole and get popped out the other side?
It's very possible.
Or like a wormhole. I mean, would that create enough pressure and, you know, like a nuclear blast? Wouldn't that be kind of comparable? I would imagine they say the pressure of a black hole is, you know, I don't know it off the top of my head, obviously, but it's immense.
it is immense.
As a nuclear explosion would be. So, you know, I mean, is that a possibility?
It is. I don't know. I mean, there's been absolutely no evidence of that. I don't think that a moon that size or like a body of rock that size would survive a black hole transference. I don't know what you want to call it. So heavy. They're also finding as a complete contrary to the Earth, which our heaviest metals are in the core, as opposed to like the rock and stuff that's up on the surface here on Earth. They found the exact opposite on the moon. They actually found lighter elements buried, you know, further down as opposed to heavier elements on the surface.
Okay.
Almost like a starship. What am I looking for here? Not cover.
The Starship Enterprise?
No, not the Starship Enterprise. Oh, that would be really sweet. If all of a sudden, we got video on a telescope of, like, these big doors on the moon opening and, like, a starship, like the Enterprise, comes out, that I would cheer.
Oh, like a spaceport kind of thing.
Well, exactly. Well, they actually, and this kind of ties into the next thing, is that they actually think the moon is hollow because of certain things that have happened. Like they had, one of the Apollo missions, Apollo 11, I think it was, had to drop their lunar module onto the Earth, or not on the Earth, onto the moon. And they say that the moon reverberated for over an hour when they did that. Then on the next Apollo mission, they did it on purpose where they drop, right, you know, the piece of equipment onto the moon's surface to try to recreate it, and said it lasted for over 3 hours. It was just reverberating, as opposed to, like, they used an earthquake as a like an earthquake on the earth here, you know, like a 6.3 earthquake lasts for a couple seconds and then it's done.
Yeah.
Because we don't have a hollow core. So they're thinking that because of this, like, reverberation and there's some other stuff, but they think it's hollow.
All right, so let me ask you this then. That kind of sounds like, so if it reverberated for 3 hours, obviously sound would have to be bouncing off of something and be contained. Otherwise it would be like the idea of throwing a rock in the lake and watching the waves, you know, kind of just gently move away. So eventually they would be out of sight. You wouldn't see them anymore, but it wouldn't take 3 hours. So if you drop something like that onto a hollow thing and it takes 3 hours, that means that the sound has to be continually bouncing off of something in order to last that long. Otherwise it would just travel out into space and be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why didn't they, like, start drilling?
I don't know. Maybe they don't have, maybe as opposed to, why can't I think of the movie? The Bruce Willis movie where they drilled on the comet.
Do, 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 do,
you don't know what it is either?
I did see the movie. I cannot remember what it's called. Like The Bravest Astronaut or something like that.
No. Armageddon.
Armageddon.
It was Armageddon. The Bravest Astronaut? It's not a Dr. Seuss movie.
I just threw it out there, man. I'm trying to help you. You're stumbling, so I'm just trying to fill in the blanks.
Well, thank you, because you're The Bravest Astronaut really jogged my memory.
Well, that's what it should have been called.
No, not even close. So, but maybe they can't actually get drilling technology up there. I have no idea. I am not. That's why this is a conspiracy theory. And why we're sitting here discussing it instead of making plans to drill on the moon.
Well, didn't we, like, send a camera that could see, like, a fly at 400 million miles away to Pluto? You know, and
no.
Yeah, we got in and saw, like, Saturn's inner rings and all the gases and Pluto and everything else.
If sure, we but we didn't that, actually send it to Pluto. I think you're thinking of I think you're thinking of Discovery or Voyager.
Yeah,
we the sent probes it, that we but we didn't send it, like, to Pluto. We just sent it out and just happened to go past Pluto.
Oh, all right. Well, if we could do that, if we could do that, can't we, like, just fly a ship back up to the moon?
You would think so, but I don't think it's that easy, especially with you. I mean, if it's an unmanned, probably. I mean, if it's a one-way trip and a robot just kind of pops out of the ship and starts driving along, like the Mars rover, sure.
Well, I don't know. Is it Richard Branson, like, selling tickets for his spaceship that he's going to transport people to the moon?
No, it's not Branson. That's Elon Musk and SpaceX.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought it was the guy from Virgin Airlines.
No. I think he wants. I think he's a part of it.
Yeah, he has to be.
Or maybe like one of their first customers. It's like $10 million a ticket or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Musk is gonna. Well, he's busy perfecting the Tesla now. But I mean, he's gonna fly. If he can fly a ship to the moon and people can get out and party on the moon. For $10 million, we can certainly send some equipment up there and punch a hole in it. That's all I'm saying. So what's inside of
it? I don't know what's inside. Nothing, according to... Although, I do kind of have a theory on that. But it's going to have to wait until after our commercial break here coming up.
All right.
So, it's half past the hour. You are listening to Dave and I talk about the moon being a spaceship and proving George Lucas correct here on Para X, and we will be right back.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present.
tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dawn Sunrising on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hi, this is Master Tarot Card Reader Ken Bogle, and I highly encourage you to tune in every Monday night to the Para-X Radio Network for the Para-Cave, hosted by Matt Gesso, as he goes in search of the truth in the supernatural, metaphysical, mystic, and paranormal. Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, only on the Para-X Radio Network. I never miss it, and neither should you.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hi, this is Elizabeth Saint, and you're listening to Mike and Dave, my fourth favorite paranormal radio show, guys. Duo? Guys. Whatever, it doesn't matter, they're moving up in the ladder. And I love you.
I love her too. Obviously, that was Elizabeth Saint doing a quick promo for us. And if all goes according to plan, she will be our guest next week. So coming back on the show to talk about the second season of Ghosts of Shepherdstown. And hopefully we will have plenty of added guests to that show. I guess we'll just have to see. But getting back to the topic at hand. So Dave and I, on the off time, I told him that I was going to continue to blow his mind. So your question, Dave, was...
Yes.
It can't be hollow. I guess that really wasn't a question, but...
No, my point was, if it's hollow, what would it contain?
Right, okay. And I said I had a theory of that. So...
Yep.
This one of the articles that I read was talking about ancient civilization, like Aristotle and Plutarch and Roman authors, Apollonius, just tons of names that I have never heard before in my life, but they all wrote about a city near in Bolivia, which recorded that the moon came into orbit around the Earth between 11,500 and 13,000 years ago, long before recorded history. Another theory.
See, now that always blows me away, because if it was before recorded history, how was it recorded that it happened?
Well,
isn't that kind of redundant?
I know. I think what they meant, like actual records, like I think they're looking at hieroglyphics and...
Okay.
You know, like that type of thing.
Okay.
So
I'll let that one slide.
Here is my sarcastic, not real, but could be, and I'm putting it all together from other shows that we have done, put it together, okay?
Okay.
So one of the theories is that there are two aliens. See if I can find their name here. It was weird, but oh, there it is, Wawani and Mapaku, Mapanku. There we go. I think it's Mapanku. Okay. And these they're the leaders of a reptilian alien race.
All right.
And that, so African Zulu legends tell of an extraterrestrial race called, and here it is, the Chitauri.
Uh-oh.
As you know, who hollowed out a moon and brought it to Earth to use as a hub to oversee the control of the human race. And this legend fits in well into the theory of the reptilian-human hybrids, which are thought to run our world today. Now, here's one. So this is the Chitauri, which, yes, as everybody knows, was the alien race in Avengers, the original Avengers movie. So, based upon my theory that the Mothman is appearing in Chicago to watch the Avengers of Infinity Wars against Thanos, I am now fully under the theory that all the scenes that involve Thanos sitting in that big empty space was the void inside the moon. Thanos is inside our moon right now.
Totally. I totally get that.
Blows your mind.
I didn't know where you were going at first. I was kind of like, where is this going? And then when you wrapped it all up, boom!
It was like a Christmas present that was a complete pile of crap, but a beautiful bow tying it all together. Oh,
yeah, absolutely. And it was wrapped impeccably. That was beautiful. I got tears in my eyes now.
So, but anyways, getting back to like actual events, like I said, that was the sarcastic part of it. So they're saying that these two reptilian people stole the moon in the form of an egg from the great fire dragon, which I can only assume is the sun, and emptied out the yolk until it was hollow.
Sure, you bet. That was a hell of an omelet too, boy. They were eating for months.
then they quote-unquote rolled the moon across the sky to the earth, which brought about cataclysmic events on this planet that ended the golden age of the past. So, I have to tell you this part because I laughed so hard when I read it. I couldn't even believe it was in here. So they're talking about this bringing it in, and how the moon changed like everything on the Earth.
Yep.
And that there is a big layer of like a watery mist around the Earth. Before, you know, the sun and whatnot. And I think there were people at the time, but they could barely see the sun through this watery mist. And that as soon as the moon got brought in, and all of that changed, all of that rain fell to the ground. And that in the Bible is what the Bible is symbolizing as it rained for 40 days and 40 nights.
All right. So that wasn't like the sun crying because its yolk got splattered out of its child who didn't hatch yet.
Not. No. Okay. No. I'm not there yet though. So here's what I cannot believe is even in here. I'm just going to read this paragraph, and it's the last sentence of the paragraph that I laughed my ass off about. I'm not trying to be sexist here, so please no hate mail. So, the arrival of the moon and the reptilians changed everything on Earth. It modified the Earth's rotation and angle. The Earth turned over on its axis, as we are upside down, as the legend says, and brought more powerful tidal systems that once had been much calmer. Women did not menstruate before the moon arrived.
they can thank the moon for that one, I guess.
That's what I'm saying.
Thank you, Moon.
So the next time your wives or girlfriends get on you for maybe making fun, just say, hey, don't blame me, blame the moon.
It was the moon.
It was the moon.
And it's a new conspiracy theory that the moon and Kotex are in a partnership together so they could make a ton of money providing a device that the women now need to use since the moon caused...
Genius.
Menstrual cycle. I mean, seriously. That's like us selling... I mean, that's the same kind of intelligent move as us selling the Earth is planet... the Earth. The planet is flat insurance.
I got nothing.
All right.
But I read that... I mean, it didn't even have anything to do with what the topic that they were saying. I don't even understand how they could come up with any sort of explanation as to why that would be. I checked... Menstruation was not caused by gravitational pull.
No, I don't think so. Although I never looked it up. I mean, I never looked it up. So, you know,
wait, there we go. The added insurance policy, gravitational pull cramps, menstrual cramps. We can cover that too.
Right. If you can prove it.
If you can, isn't that always the case? You have to prove it.
You have to be able to prove it. Right. So 100%. Undeniable proof, and we'll pay out.
So, yeah. The other thing that I'd like to bring up, even though it's a Star Trek case, it really has no bearing on this, but it is interesting because you did ask what would be in the middle.
Right.
So I don't remember if you remember if you ever watched The Next Generation. They actually did an episode where they had a Dyson sphere.
And no, it sounds like a vacuum.
Right, I know, and I'm pretty sure that was probably where they got the inspiration at the time.
Did it look like a huge, giant vacuum floating through the sky?
No, it did not. No, okay. It was not Spaceball 1.
Okay.
It was not Spaceball 1.
Okay.
But no, basically the theory was you could build a sphere around a star, and that the theory of it was that you would have unlimited power because you would have it generated by this star. So I don't know. Maybe they have some sort of I guess I can't say micro star, but you know, maybe they have something inside that they build around. Maybe that's why they hollowed out the yolk.
Well, okay. All right. And since you're going to run with that, so who's to say that you can't have a micro star when you look back to the fact that there was a whole entire galaxy on the neck of the cat in Men in Black?
Right. Orion's belt.
Right.
The galaxy is on Orion's belt.
Right.
Well, there you go.
I mean, there was a whole entire galaxy in a little inside, tiny ball around this cat's neck. So who's to say you couldn't take a star, a really little one, and encapsulate it, and then use it as a ultimate power source?
Exactly. See, I don't know. I mean, obviously
there'd be no more global warming.
There wouldn't be any global anything. I don't think. I mean, we wouldn't have to worry about nothing.
No. There'd be a lot of PO'd Exxon executives.
Yeah, and going upon that, I think if Rick Moranis can shrink his kids, then somebody should be able to shrink a star.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, stars got to be a lot easier than a child. Think of all of the things that would have to shrink simultaneously inside of a human being versus just a star. I mean, Jesus, that's a no-brainer.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I went that way. I just popped in my head, and I'm like, you know what? We're bringing in a whole bunch of movies. And in some way, using the theories of them to explain these other theories that are actually in real life. I don't know. I ran with it.
Absolutely. Made total sense to me.
The other question or theory of it is nobody understands how the moon can 100% perfectly block the sun during eclipses. So that it's the only moon recorded that is able to do something like that. Be able to line up and actually have the shape, the perfect shape, in order to block out 100% of the sun during an eclipse.
And is that because Thanos is inside of it and he's driving it over there? Or is it just because it's just happenstance that the moon was close enough to the Earth and the sun was far enough away that from our view, when they passed each other, the moon was a big enough sphere to block the sun out momentarily for like 2 minutes and 36 seconds. I think it was.
Was it? I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah.
There's another one coming up in 7 years. So.
No, I know. So we might have to look at that. I don't know. Maybe they have it down where, to where I'm having like a lot of problems tonight. But there are a lot of theories, obviously, that when the planetary bodies combine, or not by, but align, strange stuff happens.
Yes.
I mean, especially in the paranormal.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we talked about this already, too. During an eclipse, it's I wouldn't say documented, but it's definitely talked about that is a huge source of energy for whatever reason for paranormal events to happen and for cryptozoological beings to supposedly be seen during that time,
including lizard people.
That's
reptilians.
Right. Reptilians.
Reptilians from the moon
in
during
Jersey.
An eclipse.
Yep, in Jersey.
Jersey.
Because they got the boardwalk. That's why.
What? Wait. So they got the boardwalk?
Yeah. New Jersey boardwalk. That,
and that's what lizard people like.
I think I saw that someplace.
No, I think you're making that up.
All right, you called that, me out.
Let's try to stay in a realm of possibility here.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was thinking they liked the old roller coaster, but
actually, I was told, I think it was in like West Virginia, like they wanted the swamps in Virginia or something like that. That they were seen.
They can have the lizard people.
They can have them.
Who wants swamps anyway? They're just full of mosquitoes and bugs.
Yeah, no, they're awful. And crocodiles and
snakes
and all that
stuff. Kill you in 10 seconds. Yeah, no. They can have it.
So, yeah. So, I didn't convince you, did I?
You had me going for a while.
Then they brought in Thanos.
But as soon as you brought in Thanos, I kind of, the light dimmed for me. But you were on a roll. I mean, you were on a roll.
I'm talking about science here.
All right. Are you done now?
That's all.
Okay.
There's some other things, but I think with the time we have, maybe we can really quick touch upon 9/11, since it is 9/11.
Well, don't I get to talk about the Count of Saint Germain?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I would rather talk about the Count of Saint Germain instead of 9/11. Okay. No offense.
Okay, so I'm going to throw out. If you were with us at the beginning of the show, you kind of heard what I said about it. He always appeared that he was around 50 years old. He was born in supposedly, if you believe it, 1691. I put died in air quotes in 1784. He was never seen eating in public, ever. Was always at the gala events and the balls and the coronations and everything. Never seen eating. And he never drank anything that was provided by anybody else. He always brought his own, what he called an herbal tea mixture that he concocted himself. Never drank anything from anybody. Never ate in public. Nobody ever saw the guy eat. Check out the languages that he spoke fluently. Russian. That's an easy one. Spanish. German, Italian, French, Portuguese, Swedish. I'll give him those. Arabic, Latin, Chinese, and Sanskrit.
Ooh, Sanskrit.
Yeah.
That's a font. Nobody even uses that font anymore.
No, I know, because it's not. It's just weak. So this guy speaks all these languages, right? He played the violin like a virtuoso. He was an accomplished painter. Wherever he traveled, he set up an elaborate laboratory, presumably for his alchemy work. He had like 14 different names that he was known by, depending on where he was in the world. So when he would travel to different areas of the world, they knew him by a different name at every single location. He was not the Count of Saint Germain. Only in one location was he. He seemed to be a man of great wealth, but was never known to have any bank accounts. Some people believed that he was an alchemist and that he could create gold at will. He dined often with friends because he enjoyed their company, like I said, but he never ate. So he actually dined with friends all the time. He never ate. He prescribed recipes for the removal of facial wrinkles and for hair dye. He loved jewels, and much of his clothing, including his shoes, were studded with them, mostly diamonds. At which one point, at dinner parties, he would actually fuse several small diamonds in the palm of his hand into a big stone, right there at the table. Maybe he was a magician. He grew pearls to incredible sizes. He's been linked to several secret societies, including the Freemasons, the Knights of the Light, the Illuminati, the Order of the Templars, and the Rosicrucians. Go figure, right? What are you laughing at?
Somebody in the chat room thought that you were talking about Thanos.
No.
Count of Saint Germain. Right. Cat set him straight.
Okay. So, the interesting thing, too, that I saw in here was, so he was after the taking of the Bastille and the French Revolution in 1789, the prominent lady at the time, and I can't pronounce her name, so I'm not going to destroy it, said that she had a lengthy conversation with him. He allegedly told her of France's immediate future as if he knew what was to come. Now, remember, they said he died in 1784. Supposedly, that's documented. In 1821, she wrote, "I have seen Saint-Germain again, each time to my amazement. I saw him when Queen Antoinette was murdered on the 18th of Brumaire, on the day following the death of the Duc d'Agen in January 1815, and on the eve of the murder of Duc de Berry. The last time she said she saw him was in 1820, and to her amazement, every time she saw him, he looked like he was no older than his mid-40s.
Hmm. That's very, very interesting.
So, here's the thing that'll blow you away. His supposed background, when they actually started kind of doing some background research on this guy, they said that he was a blood relation to the Lord, and I can't pronounce his name either, but the Lord that was the sitting Lord at the time of Castle Transylvania.
Not Thanos. No. Not Lord Thanos. No.
It wasn't Lord Thanos, because I can pronounce Thanos. It was some crazy name. Some Transylvanian name that was like 96 consonants and one vowel. So I didn't even try.
Gotcha. So it wasn't Vlad the Impaler, some other Lord?
No, I can. That one's easy too. So anyway, so are we talking about our first vampire? Could he be like Nicolas Cage? Could it be like a spawn of Nicolas Cage?
I was actually thinking we could bring this completely all around and have it be Saint Germain is Nicolas Cage.
There you go. There you go. It could be. Ow. Stop. So, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. It's not really a conspiracy theory, although it's on conspiracy theory sites. So I don't really know what the conspiracy is, other than the fact that the guy died, but he really didn't die. And he supposedly never died. And he was always a good-looking 40-some-year-old guy.
Well, what we're looking for here is the Highlander.
Yeah, but he never carried a sword. And I think the Highlander ate meat, because I remember watching the series. He would drink a lot of beer and meld, which is fermented.
Series doesn't count.
No, it does.
No. No,
it's a true factual documentation of his life.
One of his life. The actual Highlander is Colin McLeod, not whatever the other guy's name, Adrian McLeod or whatever.
Okay.
No, that was his real name, was Adrian.
He still ate food and drank beer and ale and wine. This guy never drank or ate.
Well, maybe it was inspired by a true story.
Maybe.
But the fact that he didn't eat was something that we're like, well, you know, we got to have him eating something, because otherwise nobody's going to believe this.
Correct.
So,
yeah.
Again, bringing in another one of our topics, Hollywood's influence on real life.
Yes, absolutely. We're racing everywhere tonight.
Duncan! Thank you, Kat. It was Duncan McLeod. There Nobody cares about Duncan McLeod, even though he ended up in movie number three, like killing Colin McLeod. But, you know, whatever.
I didn't see it.
It actually wasn't that bad, despite, you know, getting like, you know, one star or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have about 6 minutes left. 9/11?
Sure.
We'll just have to talk really fast.
Okay. So, I'll tell you what. We'll just say this. Number one, we're going to open with this. It was a very tragic event that happened.
Yes.
You know, lots and lots and lots of people lost their lives, and hundreds of thousands of more people were deeply affected, if not millions more people were deeply affected by the tragedy that happened.
Yes.
Regretfully, in our society today, you know, the differences for our cultures and religious beliefs cause these atrocities to happen, which is really asinine that you actually kill in the name of a religion. But okay, so that's our prelude into it. So if you take a look, and we can't even do it in 6 minutes, but if you take a look online, you will see an absolute ton of stuff on the conspiracy of 9/11, especially today, because a lot of it is like basically recycled back through the internet on 9/11 every year, you know, so it's like it's boosted right back up to the top of your Google searches and stuff.
Yep.
There is some gray areas that I found today in some of the things, but for the majority of the theories that are out there, such as there was explosives planted in the towers, that's never been proven. They never found any type of residue from any type of explosives. You know, that that it was not chartered by humans, that it was chartered by a drone flying the plane and whatever. That's also not true. Obviously, people were on board. You know, that the one that hit the Pentagon actually wasn't a plane. It was a missile, because if it was actually a commercial airliner, it would have destroyed substantially more of the building instead of this little 75-foot swath that it cut in. Again, it's wreckage from the plane and human remains and stuff were found. So was the black box. I mean, so obviously the plane hit it, but, there is some interesting stuff in there. If you get deep into conspiracy theory beliefs, that there's some stuff that can't be answered, you know, I mean, I'm not going to go into detail on them cause it would take much too long, but I'm just saying for the people who out there are like conspiracy people, and being as this is a conspiracy show, there is some things out there that are kind of gray that they can't prove didn't happen or doesn't exist, is what I'll say. Not saying that it does exist just because they can't prove it wrong, but.
No, I'm with you. I read a little bit on it. I stuck more with the moon than 9/11. But I did do some research right before the show on it. And the one thing that got to me was it was an old CNN report. So, you know, take it for what, you know, what it is with there, just with that. But it was actually, they played a report of Osama bin Laden denying that he had done
anything, right?
That he had anything to do with it.
Yep.
Which is completely, I don't want to say different, but the terrorists that we know today love claiming stuff. They love knowing that,
yep,
you know, that they're the ones that did it and that they can get to you and yada, yada.
Right.
So, and I had actually never heard, you know, the only story that I heard was that Clyde had claimed responsibility 100%.
Yep.
Today was actually the first day that I've ever seen any sort of report that said no, they actually denied it. You know, it wasn't them, or it wasn't him anyway, that he didn't do it. That doesn't mean Al-Qaeda didn't do it, but he wasn't the mastermind behind it.
Right. And so here's an interesting thing. I bet you, and we'll never know this because the information will never be released, but I bet you if you could get a hold of the file for how many groups claimed responsibility for it, I bet you that that list is like hundreds of names.
Yeah, no, I fully agree because I don't know.
Yeah, right. But I mean, I'm just speculating. But I would bet you that we get attacked on our own soil. I bet you every single terrorist group in the world climbed out of the woodwork and said, yeah, it was us.
They just would now.
They would now, definitely. Yeah.
They definitely would now. I don't know if they would have then, only because it never happened before.
True.
I don't know. It's really a moot point on who would claim responsibility now for something that happened, you know, 16 years ago.
Right.
But yes, I absolutely agree that it was tragic. And if there was some background conspiracy or whatever to do it on our own soil, I hope at some point in time that they suffer the consequences.
I agree.
So that does it for tonight. Thank you for listening to my conspiracy theory about the moon. I appreciate Dave for sticking around and letting me do it.
Not running away screaming.
not just be like, it's all you. It's all you, Mike. I'm going to go take a nap.
Yeah.
So I want to wish everybody a good night, and we'll see everybody next week.
Sounds good. Good night, everybody.